Like the misery.
Anyata,
as a result of previous work.
Sukham,
sense enjoyment.
Kalena,
in a course of time.
Sarvatra,
everywhere.
Gaviera,
subtle. Ranghata, progress.
Translation. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Sakala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be attained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we attain miseries even though we do not desire these. Purport. Every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking and sowing rust. And the Pitchiloka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for this sense enjoyment, either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as described in the scriptures, can one obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good body features. We see also that even in this life one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable material world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all material beings are only of different degrees and qualities, but no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. Even if they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life.
Om Agyana Chimananda Sivyavanam Lakaya Chakshanamudhanam Tazmai Shivadavai Namaha. This is a verse that Srila Prabhupada would quote quite often. Also you'll find that in presentations up above that people like this verse. It's intriguing to them. Got so many different elements there that they can readily identify with and become curious about. Of course, every shloka in Bhagavatam you can go on for months speaking about. Every word in Prabhupada's books is full of such meaning that we read them again and again and still we just can't capture them completely because Prabhupada's books, they are Krishna's presence. And just like we cannot capture Krishna completely, similarly, the literary incarnation of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, cannot fathom how great the ocean is. People always wonder, how can you say that knowledge of God is in written form? Wouldn't that limit the knowledge of God, that it's in a book, that it's in words?
No.
Why should that? If you think like that, you're limiting Krishna. That Krishna cannot reveal himself through a book. It's not that the book limits Krishna, it's that you are limiting Krishna by thinking that Krishna cannot be present in this way or that way. Krishna does what he likes. People have a problem with that. Therefore, when they read Krishna books, they get educated what it means to be God. When they read Krishna books, they say, Krishna does what he likes. Sometimes he takes advice, sometimes he fights, he dances, he sports. You cannot limit Krishna. That's the first thing to understand, the science of God. The first thing to accept is that the science of God is inconceivable. Krishna can appear even in our limited consciousness, although Krishna is unlimited. But from our position, we cannot rise up to Krishna with our limited consciousness. But Krishna has all the options. He's got all the possibilities. He can appear even in your limited consciousness. The whole process of bhakti yoga is to invite the Lord, making ourselves ready for service. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, what better way than to serve the Bhagavatam? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Like was stated earlier in this canto. Always eternally render service to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the literary incarnation of Krishna, especially meant to give conditioned souls shelter in this age of Kali. The sages at Dhanaswana, they were concerned. Krishna has gone back to his own abode, accompanied by real religion. Now what will happen to the people? And the answer given is this Bhagavatam, brilliant as the sun, will arise. Now actually Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal, but it's the subject matter is worked and reworked in various Vedic millenniums. Explained by Jiva Goswami, that the Vyakte edited the eternal Bhagavatam according to the situation for the Vedic millennium. So it's not that he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, but he went through it and presented it for the understanding of this current period. A Vedic period doesn't mean, you know, 10 years or 20 years. It means hundreds and thousands of years. You know, thousands of years. Hundreds of years. Thousands of years. So, we have to understand how Krishna has blessed us, giving us an opportunity to distribute this Bhagavatam. This is the book that Prabhupada brought with him. From India, he packed a chest full of first canto. So we have a rare opportunity to distribute Krishna in his literary form. And by rendering service to the Bhagavatam in that way, Krishna will allow you to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. You give your life to the Bhagavatam and Krishna will give himself to you. Do not doubt that. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't want to serve the Bhagavatam, don't be surprised when your God realization is very weak. But if you dedicate your life to the distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will dedicate himself to you. Remember, communist days, peaceful Europe. How we used to be happy, we could just smuggle in four or five Bhagavatams into a country, Poland, 35 million people. We could just sneak across the border, four Bhagavatams, four Isha Upanishads, so happy.
there seemed to be no other hope other than that. But somehow, after about 8 years, by Krishna's grace, we figured out how to send in truckloads of Bhagavatams, the clandestine way, straight from the printer. 20,000 first-time volumes. All the whole first canon on one paperback volume. 20,000 across the border, devised and scanned. Truck would pull up in front of the house of devotees kept outside the capital city, and we'd leave devotees quickly unload the truck. Then the Bhagavatam would appear on the streets of the cities. The word would spread. Fantastic books from the west without the east had appeared. With all the everything they wanted combined together. Eastern knowledge printed in the west. So they used to pay 1 month's salary for it, Srimad Bhagavatam. 1 month's salary for a paperback first canon. They would have a big backpack with their books in and just approach a few people, and soon the whole central area of the city would be buzzing. Black market books. Japan, so they all belong. So then the devotee would just step back out of off the town square onto a side street and wait, and then you just see in the town square 30 or 40 people, pretending and trying to very stealthily, sneak down the side street, You could see it, the word was spread, and they were kind of just slide against the storefront windows, And, they would meet the devotee on the side street, be in a line, their month's salary in a hand. Yes, ready books. Like middle of freezing winter, zero and 10 below 0. The devotees were in such ecstasy. They were crying, and the tears were freezing on their cheeks. They were so happy to be able to serve Krishna in this way. So what you take for granted, of course now, different now, downfall of communism, the West has roared in with all the commercial products and the enjoyment, so everything's pretty different there. But when times are bleak, then the living entity becomes very spiritually motivated. Don't think you won't see those times. So the devotees were so happy. We can distribute these books, we can serve the Bhagavatam. We should feel very fortunate that, at least the way things are today, we can freely go at most everywhere and distribute Bhagavatam. Some countries had, like Hungary, they didn't enforce the penalty, but it was there on the books. Illegal book distribution, life imprisonment. So, we should be very thankful. That we had such a high career, the highest career, Bhagavatam Seva, serving the Bhagavatam. Equipping ourselves with transcendental knowledge, distributing that knowledge to others. And you can be sure that Krishna will give you understanding of it. You don't have to have any doubts about this. Devotees sometimes wondering, well, what about this, what about that? We've heard this, we've heard that. This is going on here, that's going on there. When you're reading and distributing Bhagavatam, there's no doubt. It reminds you of an old gospel tune, Christian gospel tune. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubts. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubts. I didn't have no doubts in my mind. If the developer can do that. So, that's the luxury of serving the Bhagavatam. You wake up in the morning, you don't have no doubts. This may happen, that may happen.
hubbub about this and that. That's natural. When human beings get together, even when they're trying to be devotees, they sometimes hubbub. But all you have to do is wrap your arms around the Bhagavatam, open it, press it, turn its pages, read it, distribute it to others.
Your life is complete.
You're directly dealing with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given us all that chance. And of course, if you can distribute a set of Bhagavatam, there's nothing like it. Someone to get 12 candles. That was Prabhupada's dream. So don't think that immediately Krishna has to give you full ability. Krishna does what he likes. You have to convince Krishna you're serious about this career. Seriousness means sacrifice. It means that we'll voluntarily accept inconveniences for a higher cause. Certainly there are inconveniences in serving the Bhagavatam. Hearing so many no's, no, I don't have time. Seeing how the people freely spend money on nonsense but refuse to give anything to Krishna. Sometimes it can be discouraging. Even the cowherd boys, they got discouraged in Vrindavan. They went to get food for Krishna and Balaram from the Yajnik Brahmanas, and they came back empty-handed. And Krishna told them, well, that's the way of begging. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes not. So, we're doing this out of love for the Bhagavatam. This is the point we're constantly emphasizing. It's a heartfelt thing. Some days we may do well. Hopefully every day we can do well. But the point is we're doing this to please Krishna, to please Krishna's devotee. In this way, every one of us can feel Srila Prabhupada's presence through his books. It is not mythology, it is not sentiment. If you serve Prabhupada's books, you'll feel his presence. And then you won't have any doubts. So as servants of Prabhupada, we want to assist him in his most cherished desire. It's not that his instructions to serve the Bhagavatam were just for when he was physically present. No. Nityam Bhagavata Sikhita. The Bhagavatam says eternally serves in the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto, the last thing he wrote before departing from this world, he said that in our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities center upon the distribution of Krishna energy. Now, what are you going to say about that? No, I don't like it. What are you going to do? It may be inconvenient for our material senses sometimes, but it's the way it is. We may want to change it, but if we want to be worthy servants of the Pacific Succession, we have to accept that mandate. We have to accept that principle. On Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Appearance Day, I was reading a book about the preaching in his days, and I was just so moved to see that. Of course, whatever Srila Prabhupada did, we revere and love, but there's nothing new. He was just doing the same thing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did in India. The same thing. And so we should do the same thing also. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had not one newspaper, but several newspapers being printed. Daily newspapers, weekly newspapers, yeah, about three or four of them. And they had their own printing press in the temple. They would print up all these newspapers, periodicals, and then they would go out and distribute them. So Prabhupada did the same thing. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur covered India with his distribution. Prabhupada covered the world.
changes.
And I was reading histories of the days of the Gaudiya Math, the Swati Siddhanta Saraswati mission in India. And all the devotees, they all said one thing in common. The devotees of that time, they said, everything was a beehive of activity. Anytime you went to a temple, there was just constant engagement, everyone was busy. And of course, that's the ISKCON, that's Prabhupada's service. Constant engagement in devotional service. So Prabhupada didn't give us anything new. He kept the basic thrust of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Adjusted the trim of it. That's all. But the basic thrust the same. Bhagavata. I'll feel like we're going back to Godhead. It's amazing. So we should pray to Krishna that somehow or other we can always cling to this Bhagavata Seva, serving the Bhagavata. Through sickness and health, old age and youth, whatever. It's not just a passing thing. We want to, in some way, do it eternally. One book was with their asking Prabhupada, that is it good to pray to Krishna that I can take birth? In my next life, I can go on distributing books and Prabhupada said that is pure devotion. So we have to help devotees get out of this idea that book distribution is just a 1 or 2 year thing. You know, whoever said that? No. I know. I saw it in my own eyes. Prabhupada tell one Madhavi book distributor. He said, if you just go out every day, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. Somebody will say, oh, no. That was before, but now it's different. If you just go out every day, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. So somehow or other, we all have a capacity to be dedicated to Prabhupada's books. We have different styles, but we all have that capacity. Prabhupada himself says, the spiritual master doesn't say how many books you have to distribute, but he does say everyone should distribute books. Prabhupada, sometimes we like to forget. Somehow or other, in our own way, we should try to do something. Of course, if we can distribute many books, that's very nice. But somehow or other, according to our situation, we should try to do something. And then we are serving the Srimad Bhagavatam. So people in New Zealand have said that everywhere they look, there are these Bhagavad Gitas. So now we want the same thing for the Bhagavatam. This book hasn't been distributed profusely in New Zealand. I don't think ever. So we've saturated with Bhagavad Gita. Of course, there's still a number of plenty of Bhagavad Gitas we distribute. But now we want to saturate with Srimad Bhagavatam. This is something you can dedicate your life to. So we're hoping that you will all take advantage of this opportunity. You're not ordinary booksellers. You're serving the literary incarnation of the Lord. The highest occupation. When in doubt, serve the Bhagavatam. When you don't have any doubts, serve the Bhagavatam. You'll feel you're going back to Godhead. Don't give up your connection to Prabhupada's books. Increase that attachment for Prabhupada's books. Everything is clear. That's the express way back to Godhead. You may marry, you may not marry, but don't give up your attachment to Prabhupada's books. The future. You may be changing nappies and growing tomatoes in the backyard, but don't give up your aspirin for Prabhupada's books. These things happen. Four ashrams, you don't hide from that point. Four ashrams. So, regardless, though, just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whether your household or vanaprastha, whatever, just chant Hare Krishna. Similarly, no matter what your situation, keep your attachment to Prabhupada. It'll keep your life simple amidst the crazy complexities of today. People are becoming more and more disturbed, the world is getting more and more agitated. You see the headlines in the papers as you pass by in the streets. The Brits over Baghdad, you know, they're bombing Baghdad, the Brits and the Amps, you know. President Clinton has ordered new violins, you know, going through an impeachment process, they're trying to kick him out of the office, you know, because he had to have a list of steps and got caught. That's the problem, he got caught. So, crazy time. Sometimes even our own devotees, they get caught up in the complexities of the day and they have to find something to, you know, some bee to buzz around in their bonnet. If you're serving the Bhagavatam, your express way back to God is clear. So if you can keep your life simple and focus in this way, you're very fortunate. This foundation will equip you for anything you do in the future. Without this foundation, you have no core in your life. We're not following ordinary varnashram dharma. We're following daivi varnashram. We're not just following ashrams and occupations in themselves. We're following ashrams and occupations in relation to the divine mission of the Lord. There's a big difference. Read these books and be able to present them, it takes study.
I remember I was a young devotee. My dad, we were called by study.
If you want, he said, if someone will take the time to study Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever you go in the world, people will listen. And he gave advice how to study. He said, cram my purports, memorize my purports, and repeat them. And then gradually your own style will develop. But first, cram my purport, memorize my purport, and repeat them. These books will soothe you if you've had an agitated day, if things, you know, things don't seem to be the way you want them to be. If you just start reading Prabhupada's book, you just feel the soothing balm. That's the experience mentioned here. Try not to let a day go by without seriously reading Prabhupada's book. So this is not just a brahmachari activity, something you're doing while you're new before you become mature. This is the mature activity, the ripe and fruit activity. But when we become immature, we may forget that. And life gets so complicated. Remember Srila Prabhupada coming to the West, getting off the boat in New York City, didn't make any difference whether he would turn right or left, it was all equally into the unknown. Bringing, you know, his Bhagavatam with him. That one letter, someone from Montreal, they had gotten a perfect escape, and they read Perfect Escape, and then they said, sent me a letter. Someone got my address. They sent me a letter saying, inspired by this book, I just want to know, are there more volumes of the Bhagavatam? Way back in 1956, I forgot, but when I read Perfect Escape, I was inspired by this book. I just want to know, are there more volumes of the Bhagavatam?
way back in 1966. I forgot, but when I read part of this tape, I remembered. Back in 1966, I got from the temple in Montreal, that was the second temple after New York. I got these three old Bhagavatam volumes, from Prabhupada, printed in India. I hadn't touched them since 66. But, then I remembered. By reading Purpose Escape, I remembered I had these volumes. So I'm reading them every day. Now I'm wondering, is there any more to the Bhagavatam besides the first canon? I wrote back, oh yes, definitely. He wrote like, is it possible, is there a whole set? Your book is based on the fifth canto, so there must be more cantos. Is it possible I can get a set? I won't just keep the set for myself. I'll put it in a library where everyone can use it. You're not really begging. I won't just keep the set for myself. I'm like, get one. So, those were the first Bhagavatams that Prabhupada brought over. He himself was a book distributor. You can read in Lilamrita how Prabhupada would wander, in his retired life. He would wander Delhi, the city of Delhi, going from cafe to cafe. People would sit out, seated outside, distributing his Back to Godhead magazine. Sometimes the heat was so intense, he collapsed once. So we're not doing anything new. Somehow we have to see to it that Prabhupada's work goes on. Yes, there are certainly other services, but this is the core. Without the heart pumping, nothing else works. Yes, there are other things you could be doing for Krishna. But the fact is, if you want to go back to God and serve Prabhupada, Bhagavatam Seva, serving the Bhagavatam, is his first thing. It'll carry you through thick and thin. When the modes of nature are shaking you, even if you've been knocked down by the modes of nature, by serving Bhagavatam, you can make it through all these crises of the angel time. And this world is constructed in such a way that there are always crises. This verse is very interesting, of immediate interest to the people, because it just presents such cosmic concepts on a grand scale. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, the Pallas. Such a cosmic statement on a grand scale, from the highest planet to the lowest planet. It really makes people feel like puny earthlings. And they should feel that way. So if you're actually intelligent, you endeavor for something that's not obtainable in the cosmos. Why? It goes on further to explain. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be attained automatically in the course of time. Just as in the course of time you obtain miseries, even though we don't desire them. Basic preaching point Prabhupada always made. You don't endeavor for distress. It comes into your life uninvited. Now, did it ever dawn upon you that you don't have to endeavor for happiness? It also comes into your life uninvited? Yeah, you start thinking, wow, I never endeavor for distress. But it comes of its own accord. Happiness will come in the same way? Yes. How is that? Kalena sarakla jabira ranghasa. By the subtle power of time, the Bhagavatam will train you up to perceive the subtle influence, the subtle movements of time. Lord Kapilade says that just like a mass of clouds in the sky doesn't understand the wind that can blow them anywhere, even blow them apart, similarly the living entity doesn't understand the effects of time. If you're listening this morning after taking a shower, I'd like you to have the sun.
shower sound vibration system. Prabhupada's explaining that by the rising and setting of the sun, that's also a Bhagavatam verse, your life is being decreased. In other words, the sun is taking away your life. You're thinking, oh, here comes the sun, beautiful night, sun. Will there be sun out today? How long can I stay in the sun before the UV rays get me or whatever? That's a question that people like to ask. How long can you stay in the sun? They don't know the sun is robbing their life, not just through skin cancer, but the whole of the ozone. The sun means time is passing. So Prabhupada was exhorting, you have to fight the sun, he said. Who ever thought of that, to fight the sun? The sun is plundering your life, then you have to fight. And how do you fight the sun? Anyone who is hearing and chanting about Krishna, they're becoming immortal. By their engagement in Krishna Katha, that makes them immune to the depleting effect of the sun. It's only superficial that it seems the devotee is losing his life. The body of the devotee, yes, that will go. But the devotee is actually the spiritual body, and that's not affected by the sun. And Prabhupada also is explaining, don't waste your time. Sometimes even in our very wonderful assembly of devotees, we see devotees wasting time talking politics. Prabhupada considers politics. Now what's this devotee doing? And that devotee should be doing this. And who's that? Who will be in charge? Prabhupada called it politics. Called it shop talk. Maybe you ever go to Rupa does not do that. And work in the shop, people. Yeah, you work in the shop. What kind of shop? Ice cream shop. And so there's always, banter going on, right? About the working conditions. You know, what's the boss up to? How much are you getting paid? I've been here 10 months, and you're getting almost as much as me, and all that kind of stuff. You know, so start like with a shop talk. So he specifically said, sometimes in our wonderful assembly of devotees, tendency for kind of shop talk. Don't waste your time. The subtle influence of time. It actually has a shape, a form, Kala Rupa. People are correct when they have that common expression, the shape of events. But they don't know how to see it. The shape of events, that is the universal form of the Lord. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi, I am time. What is the purpose of the shape of events? To take everything away. Kala Sarpa in the Bhagavatam time is also referred to as the snake. Cobra that pounces on you, finishes you off. And of course, remember Muchikunda's famous statement. When he was making his confessions of a sense gratifier to Krishna, autobiography of a sense gratifier, he told Krishna, I forgot about time, but time did not forget about me. Like a black snake, at the right moment, time pounced on me, the mouse, and gobbled me up. Subtle influence of time. We don't see that. We're involved in a constant process. Our bodies are being constantly broken down by time. The world is being constantly broken down by time. Maya doesn't let us see that. What does Maya allow you to see? Opportunities for sense gratification. Maya has our vision trained up to see that. But we should pray to Krishna that we can see the real thing. And by serving the Bhagavatam, you'll be able to see what's really going on. I'm sure all of you have had that experience sometimes while on sankirtan. You just get all of a sudden an extraordinary vision of what's really going on in the world. That happens to you? Yeah. So maybe you never forget it. Yeah. I remember once I was distributing in a bus terminal in New York City, and I saw, like, there was a huge bus terminal, you know, thousands of people in it. All of a sudden I saw everyone just floating in the modes of nature. I never forgot that. You'll see the people controlled by their senses. You'll see them charging here and there in the mode of passion like they've got a firm goal in their life. You'll see them walking down the street, spaced out in the mode of ignorance. All these dynamics, you'll see. They're serving just like you're serving. Don't think they have no inconveniences in their life. Their life is full of inconveniences, all for naught. So we undergo some inconveniences, but it's for the highest purpose. And a devotee counts his inconveniences as blessings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the stresses a devotee goes through, they're actually his wealth. They're relishable because you've undergone them for Krishna. So any questions?
What is the understanding to the statement that Krishna will not give you a test you cannot pass?
Yes. That is stated in the 8th canto and the pastime of Bali Maharaj. He had a very excruciating test, Bali Maharaj. You can't imagine what it's like to capture the whole universe. You don't know what kind of attachment that's about, and then lose it in a second. But that's what happened to Bali Maharaj. Excruciating test. Yet, Prabhupada writes in the purport section, Krishna will always give you all preparation needed before the test. But we always think the opposite. Oh, I'm not ready for this, I can't handle this, too much. But actually, that's never so.
What's the difference between Krishna giving the test and the reaction to the news? Is that really all just deviated in some way? Does that happen?
Both things happen. You know when Krishna's testing you because you didn't ask for the situation. You just found yourself all of a sudden in a situation that's just making you cry out for the Lord at every moment. Stupidity, you can see it. You yourself brought that upon yourself? Falling asleep while driving or something like that. Do you have any sleepy drivers? You? You sleep while you're driving?
No.
But what?
Sometimes I do some time at times.
And what do you do?
Starting back in the neck. In this house, I know you can work with me.
Does that do the job?
You're a hero, you hit both sides, you make yourself up completely.
No harm in pulling off from the side of the road, yeah. Sad someone was driving home, mentioning names, was driving you back from Wellington recently. And noticing that sometimes a car would veer towards the center of the road. So, you know, it's just my imagination, imperfect sense of that. So finally, you know, I just asked the Prabhu, you know that car is drifting towards the center? Oh, yes, yes, Maharaj, yes, 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 yes. I'm just facing out that way. Just facing out that way. Yeah. You're tired, just pull over, and you should let me know I can drive. Now, don't, you know, just don't drive while you're sleeping. A few hours later, if you're pulling into Rotorua, I know it's the same thing, car starts drifting into the center. Bravo! What's going on?
I'm sorry, my son.
I said, why don't you say something? You're tired. It's just my fault to yell, you know, I just didn't want to admit that I couldn't, you know, that I was not doing my duty properly. And I said, all glory to the false ego, but you know, well, you know, this could have some serious consequences, right?
I know, Lord, I know, I'm sorry.
you know, but I guess I just, you know, I just didn't want to fail the mission.
So, the motive was good, but
I'm so mad.
But I said, look, you know, we don't want to wind up in the hospital. There's a time for us to go. Krishna knows when it's a time for us to leave our bodies. We don't have to agitate the situation. But please, no sleepy drivers. For example, when I'm in a situation where I'm driving myself, I take more rest than I would otherwise. When I'm traveling on the road in Australia, other places like that, I can cut my sleep down to the bare because I don't have to drive. But here in New Zealand, because I'm driving here and there most by myself, I make sure I don't risk it. You know, I get enough risk. To, you know. What's the point? You know, who are you trying to prove by not getting enough rest so that you're falling asleep while you're driving? Such disasters have been caused by devotees falling asleep before you. Risking your life, others' lives, stopping the whole sankirtan, you know, destroying sankirtan vehicle. It's just a whole disaster. You know? Puts devotees into such trauma. You know, you hear four devotees are in the hospital, you know. You don't want that to happen. So you don't get any medals by driving without enough sleep. When in doubt, pull over and take a snap. It's not sense gratification. Take enough rest at night so that you're well rested to drive. You're a driver. That's service to Krishna. Krishna consciousness needs to be shown intelligence. You know you have to drive somewhere, make sure you get enough rest. Few more days of ecstasy for 1998. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.